Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Saturday, March 28th, Sunday, March 29th radio broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I'm glad to be coming your way today here. Gospel Broadcasting is a fundamental Bible preaching ministry from Dobson, North Carolina. And, of course, I work out of the Fall Creek Baptist Church of Jonesville, North Carolina. And Brother Don Hudson is my pastor, and I certainly appreciate him. I don't say a lot about a church, but I do attend church. I mean, I work out of a local church. I praise the Lord. If you're in our local area, we'll be glad to have you come by the Fall Creek Baptist Church. Sunday school at 10 a.m., preaching service at 11, and Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday service at 7 o'clock, located in Jonesville, North Carolina. And I want to just say again today, our Reaching America project, Reaching America with the Gospel project, and some doors have been opened to us. Now, I'm still checking on the cost and all this stuff, but we've been in negotiations with some stations about maybe going different parts of the country, maybe Nebraska, New Mexico, Arizona, and I hope those doors pan out. I hope they do in California. And you pray about some of this. Pray, and how much money we get in this project will determine how many stations we're going. We've gotten a good amount of money, but we still need more to be able to even take on one station. So I hope you'll pray for us. We're asking 1,000 listeners across the area to donate one time a month, $10 a month. Or if you just want to make a check, $120 for the entire year. There's 1,000 of you right now could just give a $120 one-time gift. Now you say, preacher, that's $120,000. You're right. I'm aware of that. But think of the stations that we could take on, brother, for the glory of God. Think of the people in the market or some of these big cities like Philadelphia we could reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the doors are open. And we've been praying. And I've been praying on this for a year and a half. And God's opened the door. And I need your help. Now, I hesitate because people don't like it when you get on the radio and say something about money. They just don't like that. I don't know why. I mean, anybody else can say something. I mean, 15 nonprofits can come through their community raising money, and they'll give to them every time. They'll barbecue a chicken or sell a box of donuts. But we don't do any of that here. But when a preacher asks for help for the glory of God, not for my pocket. Now, I want you to know I don't get one dime of this money. But for the glory of God, I want to see people get saved. You know, the way I figure it, there's a lot of families out there, like the Cawthorn family, that needs the Lord. 1975, we needed the Lord. The Lord came by our house in the form of three men, brought the Lord by, amen, and introduced us to Jesus Christ. Mama got saved, and then we got saved and started into church. And as she prayed for boys to be preachers, and thank God all these years we preached the gospel. And I've been preaching now 42 years almost, and God's blessed me with good supporting churches and friends and people. And I want you to know that I love you all. Maybe there's somebody out there you could give a large one-time gift. Maybe you give $1,000. There might be somebody could give $50,000 to help this project. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. And I promise you, it'll be used to get the gospel out. All right. Our mailing address, if you want to do anything at all, make the check to GBI, then GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Our Heavenly Father, I'm glad to be saved. Thank you for all you've seen in already. Thank you for what you're going to do. Help us, Lord, to be wise and to take the right doors in this project. Do that is needed. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we begin today a brand new message. And this is the 38th message in the life of David. And we begin Psalm 59 today. Hope it's a blessing. Now we come to our 38th. In this series on the life of David. And today we're going to look at the 59th Psalm. Now, our Father, as we look into this, I pray you'll bless our time together and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we're going through the life of David, sometimes we're making a little detour and we're stopping and we're doing the corresponding Psalm at that time period. Now, I know that this makes for a lot of messages and it makes for a long series of messages. But I hope this is not boring you because we're actually studying different parts of the Bible. So we take a look at the 59th Psalm, realizing this was written at the time of song of 1 Samuel chapter number 19. And of course, we studied that when that David was surrounded by Saul's men at his house, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, helped him escape through a window. And so this psalm was written during that time. And there's some amazing fact at the end of this psalm. I'll show you something about how it was written at that time that will bless your heart. But as we dig into this 59th psalm, I believe there's 17 verses of it. Let's look at verse number 1 of Psalm 59, if you have your Bibles. The Bible said, "Deliver me from mine enemies. O my God," the Bible said, "defend me from them that rise up against me." Now, David realized, and David's probably 18, 20-year-old at this time, and David realized here he's got some enemies. And David realized at a very young age that there were some people standing up against him. Now, no doubt these people were the same people that were with Saul when David killed Goliath. No doubt these people were the same people that were with David down at the palace, and they stood against him. They were people that David knew. Let me say that sometimes the people that will go against you the most are people that you know. Now, I've had people that I do not know come against me, say things against me. Of course, in almost 40 years of preaching, I've had things done and said against me. So that's not, that's a broad statement, my friend. I've had letters written to me, and I've had things said about me. I've had things said to me. And so what you do is you learn not to pay any of that any attention. But you also learn this. You learn that you do have enemies, amen? You will have people that will stand up against you. I ask a question here. Does a Christian or a believer have enemies? And the answer is yes. Now, you say, "Preacher, I want to go through life, and I don't ever want to make anybody mad at me." Well, you know what? That's a good way to be. But I say this, it's not a practical way to live a Christian life. It's not going to happen that way if you serve the Lord. If you take a stand on what is right in the right way, now in the right way. Now, some people take stands and they just take them in the wrong way and they agitate. And now my job is not to agitate my enemies. Believe me, I got enough enemies without agitating people. And so my job is to never fight back. I never answer criticism. I don't debate the Bible. You'll learn nothing by debating the Bible. Amen. Now, you young preachers, you need to learn that. Debating the Bible will get you nowhere. And it'll cause enemies. It'll cause friction. Preach the Bible. Preach it. You say, "But I get new ideas by debating." You don't need any new ideas. Preach the Bible. Preach it word for word, verse by verse. Preach the Bible. Amen. And preach it wherever God lets you preach it. Amen. All right. Now, let me show you this. Amen. Does a Christian have enemies? Sure he does. Well, the Bible says this in Matthew 5 and verse number 11. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, the word revile means to reproach. It means with words. In other words, people dishonoring you with the words of their mouth. And is people going to do that? Sure they are. There are people right now, they don't like me. And I couldn't please every preacher that's listening to me if I tried. I mean, I'm going to say one thing, this preacher ain't going to agree with it. I'm going to say another thing, that fella ain't going to agree. And you say, "Well, preacher, I'm on the radio." And I think a lot of men get on the radio. And down through the years, I've had them come to me wanting a radio broadcast so that it would boost their evangelism capabilities. In other words, if I get on the radio, I'll get a meeting. Well, you'd be surprised, and I don't glory in that. I'd love to preach every week of my life, but you'd be surprised how little meetings I really get sometimes. And I think part of that is that I'm just not in the, in the spotlight or whatever, and that's okay. I'm not mad about that. I'm not preaching to get meetings. If I was doing that, I'd preach everything sweet and everything nice, but there has to be sometimes some negativity. Now, I never get on the radio, and I'm on a lot of stations as of the time I'm recording this. God has blessed me, and I thank God for the privilege of being on the stations that I'm on across this great country, especially in the Southeast and Midwest, and I thank God for it. But I'll tell you, I will not waste this precious radio time fighting preachers, religions, and churches. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just preach the Bible. And God has been dealing with me in this hour and in this day. I'll be honest with you, I'm from a generation past. And my values and my thought process is a generation past. I think more like Green and Sightler and those guys that have gone on than I do the modern day preachers of our day. And therefore, I'm like Paul in the sense that I'm not elevating myself to his status, but I'm kind of like one born out of due season. I mean, sometimes I don't think I fit. But you know what? I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep loving people. And I have an older generation especially. They'll write me letters and they say, "Preacher, we love." And I have some young people that listen too. And I'm trying to help you young people learn the ways of the old time religion. Amen. So, but here's David. Yes, he had enemies. Amen. All right. Now let's look at verse number 2. Psalm 59, verse number 2. He said, "Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men." Now, these men meant business. Now, Saul, you remember the story. We studied on the last message. Saul took a javelin and tried to smack David. David escaped out of his presence, and Saul smote the javelin in the wall. And then Saul sent messengers to watch David's house to take him in the morning. And Michal helped him escape down through a window. And if she had not done that, God used her. And by the way, God uses people in the most unusual ways sometimes. God prophesied of King Cyrus, I believe it was 200 years before he was ever born. God prophesied. God prophesied of Josiah many years before he was ever born. God used Nebuchadnezzar. Can you believe that? He did. God can use anybody, anytime. It don't matter saved or lost. God uses people. And sometimes the wrath of man, God uses man sometimes and they don't even realize it. And God is going to get the truth out. God's will is going to be accomplished. Now, Satan is doing everything he can to keep God's Bible from not getting out, to keep God's message from not getting out, but it's getting out. God's on time. God's right there. Amen. I know that we live in a dark age. We live in a despairing age, a discouraging age, but you can take heart, my friend, that God's still on the throne. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, these were bloody men. David called these men bloody men. Now, these men, Psalm 59, 2, "Deliver me from the workers of iniquity." The Bible said, "Deliver me from the workers of iniquity." Let me go back and read this verse. Verse number 2, "Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men." Now, these men had one purpose. They were messengers of Saul. No doubt David knew these men, and they're going to kill him. They had blood in their eyes. I mean, Saul was so wicked that when the men went in there and found that image and laying in the bed, before they found that, though, Michal said, "He's sick." And Saul said, "Bring him to me that I may slay him in the bed." Now, Saul, his heart had already got reprobate before God. We studied that on the last message. And this psalm goes right along with it. And these men were bloody men. Can I say there are men out there that would harm you if God would take his hand off of you? By the way, preachers did get killed for preaching the gospel. We in America feel like that we're safe, and we feel like nobody's going to ever do anything to us. And well, they can't do that. Well, let me tell you something, brother. If you knew how wicked our enemies really are, and if you knew how they hated the church and hated the Bible and hated the very God that you worship, I tell you, it would put some fear in you, and you'd live closer to God than you do. The Bible said again, I believe I quoted this verse in the last message, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." Now, I want you to understand something, my friend, today. So I want you to understand this, that if we fear the Lord, God protects us. But if we don't fear the Lord, we may not be protected. But now, even that protection does not mean that we couldn't die a death for Christ. Stephen died. He didn't do anything wrong. Paul died. He didn't do anything wrong. I mean, Peter, they say, was crucified upside down. Every apostle died a martyr's death, except John, who wrote John the Gospel of, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in Revelation. And so he died a natural death. But he was even boiled in oil for the cause of Christ. So there are enemies, all right? These men meant business. Now, they really did. All right, now we look at verse number, by the way, the word iniquity means wickedness. It means vanity. He said, deliver him from those that worked iniquity. Now, let's look at verse number 3. All right, Psalm 59, and we're looking at verse number 3. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. Now, in other words, they're camped around about my house. He said, the mighty are gathered against me. And for my, he said, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. Now, let's go back for a minute. The mighty are camped around against him. Now, these men were men of power. These men were men that had means of getting the job done. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the devil will pull the big guns out on you. And the devil has men. The devil has money. The devil has the riches of this world in his favor. We're not at home in this world. I learned a song many, many years ago before I ever got saved. It says, I'm not home yet, children. Amen. We're not home yet, children. We wonder sometimes, well, boy, we're living in a wicked world. Why could they do that to us? How could they say that about our churches? Hey, I remind you, we're not at home, brother. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger if you're saved. Amen. You're not at home in this old world. And some of us, many Christians, and we're living like we're at home in this old world. We're not home down here. Brother, this ain't my home. Amen. And David knew that that this wasn't his final home, but these men were after him. Amen. He said the mighty, that was the strong men, the men of power. Now, brother, we live in a dangerous day in America, and I take these messages sometimes and I apply them back to things of our day. Now, in our day, what's going on in our day? Devil and what you'd call demon. The word demon's not in the Bible. I like to use the word devil. But there is devil oppression and devil possession. Now, let me stop right here and say this. The devil cannot possess a saved, born-again believer. All right. But the devil can oppress a saved, born-again believer. And the devil can oppress the church. Remember in one of the churches in the book of Revelation, in one of the seven churches, remember what God said? He said, I know where Satan's seat is. I mean, Satan had a seat in the church. I tell you, Satan today is not some longhorn, red-tailed fella walking around making funny jokes with a pitchfork jabbing people. No, sir, no, sir. The devil is on our television sets. The devil is in our churches. The devil is in fundamental churches. He's peddling false books. And why, you've never seen the day that people would rather go by somebody's book than they would the Bible. There's so much philosophy nowadays in our churches. And, well, it had to be this, it had to be that. So-and-so wrote this book, and I don't give 14 bushels of acorns for somebody's book if it don't line up with the Bible. Amen. Let me tell you something. I made my mind up years ago that this King James Bible is going to be the book I'm going to live by, go by, and die by. You say, oh yeah, but preacher, we want to be enlightened. You'll never be enlightened outside that Bible. The Bible said that the truth of God giveth entrance into you. Light gives when it enters into you. Let me tell you something. The truth of the Bible is what you need. I beg you, men of God, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Lay these books down. Throw them in the trash can if they go against God. But preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. See what the Bible says. And look at it from a spiritual standpoint. I'll tell you, there's an old fella out of the swamps of Louisiana. I never met him but one or two times. And really, I never even got to talk to him. I saw him in the meeting. And this man was in a meeting I was in. He's in a Bible conference. And I wasn't preaching, but this man did. And buddy, he got up there. And I'll never forget the first message I ever heard him preach. And I think he preached twice that week. And he preached about the Holy Spirit being our teacher. Now, folk, we've left that in the Baptist church. And you don't hear many preachers talk about the Holy Spirit being the teacher. Man is not your teacher alone. If you go to a Bible college and man's doing all the teaching without the help of the Holy Ghost, you're sunk. You're going to learn things you ain't got no idea. If you go to a church and your pastor is the only teacher and he's not relying on the Holy Ghost, you're sunk. You're not going to learn the Bible. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. Now, that don't mean he's going to teach you something weird. But I tell you, there are things God showed me in the Bible that I'd never read in the commentary. And then the preacher would preach it. And I'd say, oh, the Lord's already showed me that in the Bible. God will show you. Now, I said all that to say this. In this day, we are fighting a spiritual warfare. Now, David said these enemies are strong. These enemies have power. Brother, don't you underestimate our enemy today. I cannot stress this enough, that our enemy is the devil. My enemy is not the church down the street. My enemy is not the preacher down the street. Our enemy is the devil. And brother, he's ruining this country. And the devil don't care how much religion you have. Why, Saul acted like he had religion. Why, he told Samuel, he said, we kept back the better part of those sacrifices so that we could offer them to thy God. Why, brother, Samuel said, is the Lord is pleased with sacrifice? And I'm not quoting it word for word, but he's rather pleased with obedience. I mean, brother, God rather you would obey than to offer a sacrifice. Amen. And so here's Saul, not quoting that word for word, but here's Saul. And so these men are coming after David, and it's nothing but the devil. The devil's working in these men. Well, the devil's at work today. Ephesians chapter 6 is still in your Bible, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Did you know there's such a thing as spiritual wickedness? Brother, these churches that are on television preaching this ice cream religion, this positive stuff, no negative stuff, God's going to give you anything you want, God will move you mountain, God will do this. Let me tell you something, brother, that crowd's of the devil. And you can go tell him I said so. Amen. I mean, listen, the Bible said the devil was a liar, and his preachers are a liar, and his false Bibles are a liar, and his false religion's a liar, and his glitzy preachers with their jet airplanes and their multi-million dollar houses. Let me tell you something, brother. We need some old cornfield preacher to rear back and just preach the word of God in love and tell us like it is and say, hey, we're in a fight with the devil, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not in a fight with the church down the street. I got a list of preachers in my office. And I pray for you men every week of my life. You say, boy, I don't like you. You come on the radio, Catherine, and I'll tell you one thing, Catherine. You'll never preach in my church. I might not. But I pray for you every week. And I don't pray I preach in your church every week. I just pray for you. You say, what do you pray for me? I just call your name out and ask God to bless you. Amen. Then if there's a special need, I pray for preacher after preacher. You know why? Because I love you men of God. I'm not a nationally known preacher. No, sir. And I told one of our nationally known preachers the other day, I sat at a table with him. I said, I'm not preaching like you men are. No, I'm not preaching all over the country. But I said, my job's to pray for you. And my job's do what I'm doing. Amen. Just keep on helping people do what I'm doing. But you know what? David realized he had people fight. Verse 3 says this. He said, not for my transgression, not for my sin, O Lord. In other words, these men ain't out here because I've done something wrong. Now somebody says, when people's fighting you, well, I wonder what Catherine's done wrong. I wonder what sin Catherine's committed. He wouldn't have all those people against his ministry if he wouldn't sin like he does. Well, you know what? They said that about Job, too. Sometimes it ain't about you sinning. Sometimes it's God putting you through trials. And by the way, did you know trials builds character in people? I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a man that ain't never been through any trouble. Why, these fellas have it made all their life, and they never have any trouble, never have any heartache. They don't have any character either. Amen. I tell you, if you've got true character, and if you're a true man of God, you've been through some fire and some blood and some guts and some sweat and some tears. And brother, I tell you, the devil's been on my trail ever since I got saved. He's been on my trail, brother. And I don't expect it to get any easier. I'm not about to quit. Amen. I'm not about to hang it up and say I'm going to resign. Matter of fact, I'm going to refire. Amen. And praise God. I'm going to be preaching. I hope when some of this crowd's failed by the wayside, I want to still be preaching by the grace of God. I want to. By the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Now, let me show you this. David hadn't committed any sins. Sometimes you say, well, preacher, I've not done any wrong. And they just jump all over me for things I've not even done anything. That's God's ways. I'll just tell you what a doctor told me one time. Get over it. You say, but preacher, I've not done anything wrong and they're come after me. Get over it. Get over it. You better have a thicker skin than that. You say, but preacher, I've tried to do right and I've tried to live with the Bible and they've come after me. You better get over it. You better get over it. They're going to come after you. It's going to be people in your own church. They're not going to like your preaching sometimes. Why, you preachers can't please everybody in your church. God didn't call you to please everybody in your church. Amen. Now, I love you people on the radio. I'd do anything in the world within reason I could do for anybody. But I'm not on the radio to please you. I'm not on the radio to preach. So some preachers call me up and say, I'm going to give you a meeting. And by the way, if God lays me on your heart, I'll come to your church and preach and I'll try to help you. I won't come in and mow the hay and tear the building down and leave you in a mess. I don't believe in that. Now, that's not right at all. But I'll tell you one thing, we're going to have enemies in this old world. You better believe the devil's crowd is going to come after you, and he'll use the church crowd to do it. Sometimes people that are saved, now you may not agree with this statement, but I believe I could take people in the Bible and show them to you. There's some people that are saved, they're used of the devil more than they are of God. God help anybody. Now, I believe some of these men, where they followed Saul, some of these men were probably saved, but they turned into bloody men, wicked men. Now, notice verse number 4. The Bible said, they run and prepare themselves. Now, they don't just, it ain't a fly-by-night thing, buddy. I mean, they're studying how to take you down. The enemy's smart. Now, we in the Baptist church, we ain't too smart. We don't believe in preparing for nothing. Well, we'll let the Lord lead. Now, whoa, whoa, whoa. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That the Bible said, quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, quenching the Holy Spirit is not doing what you should. And grieving the Holy Spirit is doing what you should not. I don't want to quench Him. I don't want to grieve Him at all. And amen, because and He's God. But I'll say this to you. God does not do things as out of order as some of our Baptists think He does. We've got a lot of churches that are fetal with emotionalism. We've got a lot, and I'll tell you what's driving. I say it about every message, and that's okay. But this social media stuff is driving emotion. It drives emotion. You'd be surprised at things that Baptists post, things that Baptists think, things that Baptists argue about. Let me tell you something, brother, that stuff ain't going to matter 100 years from now. Let me tell you something, but the leading of God, by the way, why shouldn't God's people prepare? Why shouldn't God's man prepare for a message? Well, the devil's crowd prepares. Why, they sit back, they don't move overnight. Did you know right now the communists play the long game? Why, sure they do. They've got their sights set on America right now, and we're so dumb in America, we can't even see that. Why, they're sitting there, they've been playing the long game for years. Amen, the economy and all that, they sit there and play the long game. And when we're so dumb, we can't even see that. We just live from day to day, we can't really see what's happening. Amen. Our politicians sometimes, I don't think they really see what's going on to America. I think they think they're going to escape. But listen, I want to tell you something. When the judgment of God starts, ain't nobody going to escape. But right here's the deal. Amen. Lest those that God appoints to escape. Amen. Like maybe He did go into Babylon. Maybe God will have mercy on some of us. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. In this, the devil's crowd prepared. He said they prepared. Let me just go back and read that. Amen. Let me go back and catch that verse now. In Psalm, I'm in Psalm 59. I said, preacher, I sure wish you'd stay in the Bible. I'm trying. Psalm 59. Maybe I'm not trying hard enough here. All right. Psalm 59:4. They run and prepare themselves. They prepare themselves. Amen. And all right. Without my fault. In other words, I've done nothing wrong. Now, they prepare themselves. Now they said this, awake to help me and behold. In other words, God, I need your help. Now, Lord, wake up and help me. All right. Wake up and help me, Lord. Wake up and help me. Now, the psalmist wanted the Lord to wake up and help him. Now, there are times we need God's help against our enemies. Now I'm going to show you some things about our enemies here in Psalm 59. There are some times we need some help against our enemies. Amen. And let's just go on as we look into this. We'll see. All right. And he does. The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 139, verse 17. We covered this a lot of messages ago. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is, the Bible said, the sum of them. The Bible said, if I should count them, they are more in multitude than the sand. The Bible said, when I awake, I am still with thee. He said this, if I tried to count all thoughts you have toward me, they'd be more than the grains of sand, more than the sand on the sea, or more than the sand. And he said, when I awake, I'm still with thee. You're still thinking about me. Amen. When I wake up, you're still there. God is everywhere. Now, let me say this to you. David is in his house. The men of Saul have surrounded his house. This is when Psalm 59 was probably penned that night before David escaped. By the way, David took time to write a psalm. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, March 28th, Sunday, March 29th. Matter of fact, we come to the end of the month of broadcasting, so we'll talk to you again in April. I certainly appreciate you for listening, and I mean that with all my heart. Write us today. Pray for us. We'll be glad to hear from you. And until next week, this is Brother Ricky saying goodbye. God bless you is my prayer. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.